welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, happy Father's Day. I'm sure you have had your lie-in this morning. Breakfast in bed. The red carpet from the house to the car. And the most exciting thing is you have control of the TV controller, the remote control, this afternoon for all the football matches. So happy Father's Day. So on Father's Day, and this is going to be a short message, and I'm glad the youth, I think some of the youth are still here, because we're going to be looking at Adam this morning. Adam as a single man, Adam as a married man, and also Adam as a father. Adam had three boys, Cain, Abel, and Seth. But we're going to be looking at specifically Adam as a single man, first of all, and also his marriage to Eve. You know, the first three chapters of the Bible are just incredible. They are so rich. The revelation that you get to it is unfathomable. And I recommend everybody to read the first three chapters of Genesis on a regular basis. It is probably my favorite three chapters in the Bible. So if I was to put a title on this message this morning, it would be From Doubt to Faith That Moves Mountains. I'm going to say a statement from the beginning, and if everybody got a revelation of this, the world would be a different place. So if you pick up nothing else from what I say today, just listen in. Don't be distracted from anybody, which says that God's purpose for his creation is to provide a family for himself and a bride for his son as his eternal companion to reign with him forever. Human history began in Eden with Adam and Eve joined as a bridegroom and a bride. Natural history ends with a prepared bride being presented to God's worthy son, who is Jesus. So we can see right from the very beginning that God's purpose for us being here on earth is that he wanted to have family, that he wanted to have a relationship with us, that he wanted us to have intimacy with him. So we're going to look at Genesis chapter 1, if you want to turn it up. And initially we're going to look at Adam as a single man. It's interesting that everything at that stage was male, in the natural and in the spiritual. Adam was male. God the Father was male. Jesus was male. The spirit of Jesus was male. The 24 elders were male. The names of the angels that we know all have male names. Now the angels, they were neither male nor female. So you can see at the beginning, everything was male. And then woman came along. Any shout from the women? Woo! Whoa, man. Yeah, and she changed everything. And I'm glad that some of the youth are here, because the story in Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, is between a man and a woman. It was not between Adam and Steve, and it wasn't between Eve and Genevieve. The story in the Garden of Eden is between a man and a woman. I met a Christian during the year who was beginning to doubt the story of Adam and Eve. And he felt it was just becoming symbolic, and that he was veering towards gay marriage. I was gobsmacked. I tried to put him straight, but he was convinced that that was the route that he was going to take. So the story of in the Garden of Eden, I confirm through Scripture, is between a man and a woman. And Jesus confirms that in Matthew 19, verse 4. He confirms that this is a true story. If by any chance it was Adam and Steve, or Eve and Genevieve, there would have been no children. There would be no adopted children. There would be no family. So the next time somebody brings the subject up, you can bring them back to Scripture and say that God's perfect order, God's designed and natural order for marriage is between a man and a woman. So let's jump into the story here. This is the first time I preached with glasses. But I do encourage you that the prescription that I had 20 years ago is very different to what I have now. In fact, it was the opposite. Okay, let's go to Genesis 1 and verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness." We are all made in the image and likeness of God. Turn to the person beside you and tell them that you look like God. And it's very true. I was sharing the gospel on the streets, and this guy came up to me and he said, "I have never seen God. I have never experienced him. He doesn't exist. I have never seen him." And I said, "You're actually looking at him." I quickly clarified that I'm not God, but I am made in the image and likeness of God. If you want to know what God looks like, look at your partner, look at the people around you. Okay. And God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish, over the sea, over the birds of the sky, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female. I'd love to shout that from the rooftops. Male and female. He created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and rule over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the sky, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." God created Adam from the earth. There's just one verse there, verse 31 of chapter 1. "And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good." It wasn't just good, it was very good. "And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Chapter 2, verse 3, it says, "On the seventh day, God rested." Wouldn't you love to know how God rested? Do you think he called on some angels to bring up a footstool? Do you think he sat back in a seat and rested? I'd love to know how he rested. I didn't think he even knew he needed rest. Okay, chapter 2 and verse 6. Verse 7. "Then the Lord God formed man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." So Adam was created from the earth in the natural, and he was created with the spiritual. And you'd be interested that when God came to breathe life into Adam's spirit, or to create his spirit, he breathed through his nostrils. Not through his mouth, not speaking into his stomach, but into his nostrils. This thing that we have in the front of our face, this nose, very important to God. When the Israelites found themselves with the Red Sea in front of them, with the Egyptian soldiers coming up behind them, and God parted the waters, you can read it in Exodus 15 and verse 8. God breathed the power of God through his nostrils, and he parted the water. In fact, the power of God, the wind that he created through his nostrils was so powerful that it caused the edges of the water to congeal. to freeze so that they could walk through. So there are some times when you feel that you need to breathe in the Holy Spirit. Breathe it in through your nose. It's powerful. Let's have a look at 15 of chapter 2. And the Lord took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. Adam didn't sit around all day doing nothing. He was busy. We don't know what size the Garden of Eden was, but he was cultivating it, he was keeping it, and he was looking after it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, from any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat from it, you shall die. God said to Adam, you can eat and take whatever you want from the Garden of Eden, but I have placed a tree right in the very middle. You are not to eat of its fruit. You could touch the tree, you could climb the tree, you could hold the fruit in your hand, but you are not allowed to eat of it. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And because it was in the middle of the garden, I am sure no matter where Adam went, he had to at some point go by this tree. It was always there. It's like the wheel down in Bangor at the moment. Wherever you go, you see this big wheel. Okay, it was like that in the garden. Verse 18 of chapter 2, then the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him. Verse 19 talks about God bringing the animals to Adam, as if to show him that these animals can give you companionship, but you're not going to get the companionship except for the woman. And the man gave names to all the cattle and the birds of the sky and in every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper suitable for him. So ladies, this is your verse coming up now. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to come upon the man. This was the first anesthetic in the Bible. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And the Lord fashioned into a woman a rib which he had taken from the man and brought her to the man. And the man said, this is now bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked, but were not ashamed. Eve, God did not make Eve as he did with Adam. Adam was formed out of the earth and he breathed life. He breathed the spirit into Adam. And God gave Adam the capacity to have a deep relationship with him, spirit to spirit. He didn't create Eve the same way. He took something from Adam and created Eve, so that Eve became a descendant of Adam. That's how the whole family started. If he had created Eve the same way, then we would have had two individual human beings. Now we know Adam, he's the first Adam, but Jesus is the second Adam. And the production of Eve as a woman, the actual process of creating Eve, we can see Jesus in this. So God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. This was Jesus dying. And he slept, and he took one of his ribs. When Jesus died, what did they do to prove that he was dead? A spear was poked into his side. That's where the rib came from, where blood and water flowed. So we knew that Jesus was dead. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. And some people say that closing up of the flesh is the resurrection of Jesus. So you can see, even in the creation of Eve, you can see how we see the first Adam and we're beginning to see the second Adam, which is Jesus. Verse 24 talks about, and this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. Having looked at that verse of scripture, it's almost as if you never had a father and a mother, because Adam and Eve didn't have a father and a mother. So when you cleave to your wife, it's as if you're leaving your father and the mother, and it's as if they weren't there at all. So let's look at chapter 3, and this is where my message is drawing to. We're going to briefly look at the fall. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed has God said, you shall not eat from any tree of the garden." And the woman said to the serpent, "From the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, lest you die." And the serpent said to the woman, "You surely shall not die. For God knows that in that day you eat from your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. I want you to quickly look at a verse of scripture in the New Testament. You will find it in 1 Timothy 2, 13 to 15, and I encourage you all to turn to this. 1 Timothy 2, 13 to 15. Verse 13, "For it was Adam who was first created, and then Eve." Now listen to this. "And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman, being quite deceived, fell into transgression." Let me read that again, verse 14. "And it was not Adam who was deceived, but the woman, being quite deceived." It was Eve who was deceived, but Adam wasn't. So what happened? Turn back to chapter 3 of Genesis. Brought up as a kid, you get all these children's biblical stories. And every picture that I saw, it was always the serpent and Eve on their own. But in verse 6, it said, "When the woman saw the tree was good for food, and it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, and she took from its fruit and ate, and she gave also to her husband with her." When the serpent spoke to Eve, Adam was right there beside her. And when the serpent started to ask the questions, Adam said nothing. He never said a word. When Eve took the fruit, she ate it, Adam was right beside her. And he ate. There was no complaint. From what we can understand from Scripture, there was no complaint. There was no discussion. There was no, "Eve, come on, I need to have a chat with you first." He just took it and he ate it. No quarrel. He said nothing when the serpent was speaking to Eve. So what happened? What happened to Adam that he did that? I found the answer. Turn back to chapter 2 and verse 18. I have a dotted line in my Bible between verse 17 and verse 18, because this is where the change took place. Just before we look at that, I want to remind you of verse 31 of chapter 1. "And God saw all that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day." Chapter 2 and verse 18, it says, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good. So one moment God is saying, it's very good. And now he's saying to Adam, it's not good. I would love to have seen the expression on Adam's face when God said that to him. Because he, as a single man, was living in a perfect world. This was paradise. Everything was very good. He knew nothing except very good, because God said it was. And then suddenly, God said to him, it's not good. I believe, whilst I don't believe it was God's intention, or maybe he was testing Adam, but what God said to him, that something was not good, had a devastating effect on him. Doubt crept into his heart. And I'm sure from that point on, he went off and he thought about the fact that God had said to me that something was not good. I think it really, really hurt him. And doubt came into his heart. He had nobody to turn to. He couldn't go to pastor to talk to. He couldn't talk to God, because it was God who told him that something was not good. He was on his own, and something changed in his heart at that moment. I don't think it was to do with the fact that it was marriage. It could have been any subject. We know that Adam cultivated and he kept and he looked after the garden. If God had said to him, Adam, everything is very good, but except you really haven't done a very good job on that part of the garden, I think he would have been devastated as well, because he had been told that something was not good. And that's the reason why Adam said nothing when the serpent approached the two of them. I think Adam had decided that he was going to eat of the fruit of the tree. Remember, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I think he wanted to show God, perhaps maybe he was wrong, but if he ate of the fruit, he would be shown that it was good. Because remember, God was saying, everything is very good, and then he was saying to Adam, it is not good. I think verse 18 was where things changed. I think that's where the fall took place, because in Adam's heart, he already decided he was going to take the fruit of the tree. But he wasn't just going to walk up to the tree and take it himself. If I really was to stick my head above the parapet, I believe he was going to wait for Eve to take the tree, to take the first bite, and then he would take it. And proof of that would be in verse 8 of chapter 3. This was after they discovered that the glory of God had left them. Verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to the man, and he said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard the sound of thee in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? God already knew the answer, but he was asking the question. Have you eaten from the tree from which I commanded you to eat? And the man said, the woman whom you gavest to me with me, she gave me from the tree and I ate. He blamed the woman for the fact. He blamed the woman. And I think that was the plan in his heart. He wasn't going to take the fruit himself, but he planned it in such a way, whatever he decided to do, that Eve would take the fruit, and that he'd use that to blame her for what he had done. All caused by the doubt in his heart. So the fall had already taken place even before the serpent appeared. Doubt is a powerful emotion. Jesus, one of his disciples, Thomas, was known as Doubting Thomas. If you just want to have a look at John 20. John 20:25. So John 20:25. The other disciples therefore were saying to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I shall see in his hands the imprint of the nails, and put my finger into the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst, and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger, and see my hands, and reach here your hand, and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are those who did not see and yet believed." So it wasn't until Thomas actually put his fingers into the holes in Jesus' body did he believe. So doubt is a powerful, it's a spirit. We are living in a world where every aspect of this book is being challenged. Every single word of it is being challenged. The spirit of the Antichrist is increasing on a daily basis. We are living in a changing world. And unless we know this word, we will not be able to stand. Some of the deceptions that come along will be so close to Scripture, maybe even just one word. But unless we know this word, we will be deceived. Having done a 7-year study of eschatology, one of the things that Jesus spoke about more in the last days was deception. Above any other subject, we are living in the year of days of deception. False teachers, false prophets will arise. Signs and wonders will appear. The spirit of the Antichrist himself, the false prophet, it is all leading to eroding and taking this book out of circulation. Some denominations are now disputing whether there is actually a hell, whether there is actually a heaven. Gay marriage has come in. It's going to increase and increase and increase. There's one thing that I love to watch in movies and in television series is to see the theater that takes place in the courtroom. And the job of the defense lawyer, if he can create a doubt within the jury, that case can be thrown out. If the spirit of the world will try to create a doubt in each one of us so that it will start to erode and start to water down the power of this book. Because this is truth. We are under attack. So how do we deal with this doubt, this attack, this deception that is all around us? And it is going to increase and increase and increase. But the good news is God is always working ahead of time. The Holy Spirit at this time is preparing us for the next level of attack that's going to come upon the church. He really is. So the only way that we are going to be able to decipher what is good and what is evil is this book here. So this message this morning is about Adam, but it's all also about having a deep relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to have intimacy with God. We were created, we were designed to have intimacy with God. We were created in such a way that the only way that we could bridge the gap between God and ourselves is through Jesus Christ. Collectively, together, before we were born again, we've probably tried everything that the world can offer, looking for that gap to be filled. But there is only one person who can fill it, and that is Jesus Christ. So my message to you this morning is to study this word. Now, I mean, study it. Take a toothpick with you and go through it. I hope I have shown you through the story of Adam that there is something there that you may not have seen before. We need to study the Word of God. Meditate on this day and night, because it is going to be challenged tomorrow, next week, next year, 10 years' time. Every single word of this is going to be challenged. But because we know ahead of time, and if we study, deepen our relationship with Jesus Christ, come to church as often as you can, go to the prayer meeting, do everything that God wants us to do, we will be able to stand. There will be no problem whatsoever. We will be able to stand. And the plan and purpose of God through the church will be fulfilled. And that he will create that family. He's in the process of creating that family. And he will have a bride when he returns. So I hope that message is some help to you this morning. In Jesus' name. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.